repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a little bit will be John Ramos. We're so honored that you joined us today. You know, when you think about history and what's taking place, you know, they say that if we don't learn from history, you know, history will repeat itself. Well, that is one thing we do learn from history, is that it does repeat itself. You think about this, that during that time, if you missed our last program, you got to catch it. We were talking about, you know, what was taking place, you know, during the days of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Hitler and Germany and the Weimar Republic and how that all came to pass. And during that time frame when Hitler began to just polarize and organize, you know, the German people against the Jews and the unwanted, you know, in Germany, he began to put marks. He had a mark that he would actually go and put on Jewish citizens and begin to put, as a matter of a star, I think you can see the star right here, and they would have it cut out of material, and they would put that star on the Jew. And then they were telling the Jews at some point, they were saying, you know, we're just trying to help you out, you know, this is here to protect you, and, you know, this we're not trying to single you out. And it was all presented in a way that, you know, we're looking after you. Listen, anytime somebody tries to point you out and to put a mark on you, they're not trying to help you. You know, the very fact of what's going on. And so they started taking these stars and they put it, as you can see here, on people's clothing, as you can see it right here. And they would, if you were wearing that particular star that says that you are a Jew. And then it progressed from that to all of a sudden they begin to persecute the Jews. They begin to take them to places and take their businesses away. You had the night of, you know, had Kristallnacht, where they took away, you know, they begin to tear down all their, break their business glass down and come in there and mess with their businesses. It's called Kristallnacht because that was the night they broke all the glass out of the front of the buildings and tried to harass the businesses. I mean, think about today, right now in America, what's taking place. You're finding the government is supporting, harassing Christian businesses in America. They're coming, using the force of the government to go into Christian businesses. This is how it began, you know, in the days when the Jews began to be persecuted. Not just Jews, but Christians began to be persecuted. You know, Hitler came out with his own Bible called the Mein Kampf, and he was like the savior in this thing, and it was just horrific that what was going on. But this beautiful form of repentance took place when you had these teenagers. You know, they were going out to Auschwitz, to a death camp in Auschwitz in Poland. They went out there, a group of teenagers went out there in Germany, Poland, to, you know, see what happened, to learn about history. And these are 11th and 12th graders. And this German mother, you know, just came up all of a sudden. And she had this big yellow sticker that she's going to start sticking on these teenagers. And I'm thinking, you got to see it. I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. But I'm thinking, immediately I'm thinking, no, don't put a sticker, don't mess with those Jews, right? Don't do that. But she was actually having an act of repentance because she felt so bad about the sins of her fathers and what her forefathers had done in Germany. She wanted these young Jewish 11th and 12th graders to know, as they were touring where their great-grandparents had potentially have died in this Auschwitz camp or been camped, you know, in prison, that she wanted to show that we, as a matter of fact, you got to see this. You got to see. Imagine this first. Understand the setting. The setting is you're going on a tour. You're going on a trip for your school. You're going to go to Poland. You're going to go look at where this you were persecuted as, you know, just because you were Jewish, where people put these stars on you and then begin to eventually lead you to these camps and kill, you know, your family. And it's just a horrific thing to go and see. And they're there. You can imagine the anticipation you have as a teenager, you know, as a high schooler, and you're going to learn the history. But then all of a sudden you have this German lady come up, and you'll start seeing them get really uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable watching it, thinking, no! But it's beautiful what she ends up doing. As a matter of fact, take a look at this now.
כשאתם באים לפה, אני מבינה שהסבל של העם שלכם, הסבל של האנשים שהיו פה, לא היה לחינם, לא היה לשווא.
People marked you with yellow stars, and I brought this from Germany with love, and I cannot ask you for forgiveness of what my people committed.
אני לא יכולה לבקש מכם שתסלחו לעם שלי על מה שהוא עשה לכם, אבל אני הבאתי לכם גלויה צהובה, שזה צבע של מדבקה, שכתוב עליה מגרמניה ואהבה.
But as a sign of love and a stretched out hand, I would like to
אני רוצה להביא לכם את הלבבות האלה שמוטבעים פה, שתדביקו את זה
put a heart on the place where my forefathers have put a yellow star.
אני רוצה שתדביקו את הלב הזה על הלב שלכם, שיגיד אני לא יכולה שתבקשו סליחה, לבקש סליחה מכם, כי זה היה קשה מדי, אבל אתם מבינים, במקום שלא היה לב, המקום שהיה לנו את הטלאי הצהוב, אני שמה במקומו לב של אהבה. מרגש מאוד, זה לא קרה לי אף פעם, זה מאוד מעניין. וזה שווה דיון, רבותיי, מה שקורה כאן כרגע. זה שווה דיון. יכול להיות שסבא שלה רק צבא שלי. אתם מבינים את זה? אבל מה היא אשמה מצד אחד? מצד שני, היא באה ואומרת, איך אני מחפרת על מה שעשו. אז אני לא יודע כמה זמן היא מסתובבת פה, אני מבין שהיא לא איזה נוצריה שעושה לנו רצון לזה, אבל היא מביאה מדבקות, כן, הנה היא נותנת לכם. זה מה, אני רוצה שרנק?
Ulrike,
Ruth. Ulrike, Ruth. Ruth, Ulrike. Ruth, Ruth. You, Ruth. You know what is Ruth from us.
I know. And this is Benjamin Samuel.
Oh, Benjamin Samuel. Benjamin Samuel.
Why?
Wow. Where you live in Germany?
Saxony.
In Saxony. טוב, יש לה שמות יהודים. מעניין הסיפור שלה. צריכים להצביק, אני צריך לעשות חקירה.
There was a whole generation of survivors who spoke up with a message, never again.
אני באה לפה עם מסר של לעולם לא עוד, שהדבר הזה לעולם לא יקרה.
And we see what's happening with Iran.
כן, כשאנחנו רואים מה שקורה עכשיו, את הרצח עם באיראן או במקומות אחרים,
and that we are not far from.
אנחנו לא רחוקים מעוד רצח עם כזה.
History repeating itself.
כן, ההיסטוריה חוזרת על עצמה.
And
מי עוד רוצה?
Today,
כן,
I can't say for sure that it's not going to happen again.
ואני לא יודע אם הדבר הזה לא יקרה שוב עוד פעם, מי לא קיבל?
But I want you to know that you're not alone.
שאתם לא לבד, אני...
And that there are people outside of Israel who are standing with your nation.
והרבה אנשים מחוץ לישראל עומדים בגאווה יחד עם האומה שלכם.
And who pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
ומתפללים לשלום בירושלים.
So I welcome you ברוך הבאים בארץ החיים.
ברוכים הבאים מארץ החיים.
Think about that. That's the most beautiful form of repentance. Here you have this next generation coming up. These Jews coming in to look at the pain that was experienced in their forefathers, but also you had somebody who was German, who was there in the pain of her forefathers. And we get back from this break in a moment. We're going to be talking more about this, but I mean, you know, you can control a lot of things, but you can't control who your family is. And I watched a documentary of the children of Hitler and how they were trying to deal with the evilness of who their father was and how their whole stories ran out, and they spent their whole life, you know, trying to just apologize for what their father had done, and he's fathered all these children. And so many people, you know, try to throw on one generation what a past generation does, but what God says is that, you know, we can repent for past generation sins. You know, we can ask for forgiveness, and we don't have to continue in the way that was going on. And this is so beautiful to watch. This is what we need to do. We need to do it with everyone. And she's saying, listen, the old Germany didn't stand with you, but Germany's going to stand with you. We see what's happening with Iran. We see that, you know, think about this. America, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is negotiating with the leaders of Iran to get nuclear capabilities that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says specifically for them to get nuclear weapons to be able to use against Israel. That's our country. And Germany's there going, No, never again. We stand with you. Listen, it's time for us to rise up and say, you know what? Just like this heart that she put on the Jewish 11th and 12th graders there, we need to do this for all people and say, listen, this madness has to stop. We got to come back from this break, and we're going to be talking about specifically about how this has been declared by the Supreme Court, you know, as a godly nation, you know, that is nations whose God is the Lord. More, we'll get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You wish there was one easy way to improve your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Patricia Ashley with one suggestion.
When you give your husband true compliments, and when you say true positive things to him about him, it is like putting water on a plant. I know what I'm talking about. Do you all hear me? Even if they reject it, even if they act like it didn't move them, believe me, if you walk out the room and peek back at them, they like it.
Well, we all like to receive compliments, don't we? Especially from our spouse. So give your husband or wife some words of affirmation today. You'll be glad you did. For more ways to strengthen your relationship, stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That's just a powerful thing that took place at this Poland Auschwitz, you know, death camp. And you know, that's what repentance looks like. And that's what America needs. But mm-hmm. we got to remember the roots, where we came from. And you got to be, talking about being authentic. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know what you're saying because I know what you're about to say. And I think it's great. But then you got to say, but I wasn't a person during that time. How do I integrate this whole thought processes and all? But at least, you know, if the starting point is the cross, then there's hope. There is no hope when you remove God from, you know, God. As a matter of fact, it was declared. Tell us what happened by the Supreme Court.
Very interesting. 1892, the Supreme Court was hearing a case. It was Holy Trinity versus the United States. And they were hearing this case where there was a law in 1885 that Congress had passed, and this was the law, which was pretty surprising. Basically, let me read it to you. It says, contracts to import labor were forbidden by the federal law and especially by the Alien Contractor Labor Law, an act Congress passed in 1885 prohibiting the importation and migration of foreigners and aliens under contract or agreement to perform labor or services of any kind in the United States and its territories in the District of Columbia. So they passed a law that said you couldn't allow foreigners to come work here in the United States.
This is what we're talking about?
Well, okay. Yeah. Because what happened during this case, a church was wanting to hire an Anglican priest from England mm-hmm. to, you know, be their pastor at their church. And the court said, the court of New York said, no, according to this law, you can't hire this minister to, you know, because he's a foreigner. He couldn't come to the United States and work at your church. So they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And what came out of this court case was that, yes, he was allowed to come to the United States to work, even though this law was passed, because the Supreme Court justice, who actually wrote final statement decision for this case, declared that the United States was a Christian nation. And what he did was chronicled all the history from America. In fact, got some of the stuff that he said was pretty amazing.
Saying this, as you say, let's not get this thing twisted.
That's right.
So this is a Christian nation. The whole point,
this
the reason why
the
pilgrims came, I mean, it's all been about.
He went from the pilgrims all the way through, and he gave
all the
history.
Go ahead, share with a couple.
This is what he says. He says, concluding with an appeal to the Almighty, the custom, he starts talking about the things that are happening in the United States. So he says, the custom of the opening sessions of all bodies and most conventions begin with prayer. The prefatory words of all wills start with, in the name of God, amen. the laws respecting the observance of Sabbath with general cessations of all secular business and the closing of courts and legislatures and other similar public assemblies on that day. The churches and church organizations which abound in every city, town, and hamlet, and the multitude of charitable organizations existing everywhere under Christian auspices, the gigantic missionary associations with general support and aiming to establish Christian missions in every quarter of the globe, these and many matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass organic utterances that this is a Christian nation.
Wow.
Supreme Court Justice David Josiah.
Of all Bremer. The names, Josiah. I mean, think about it, all the Bremer. Names. And yeah. Josiah, this is, you think about it, that's the prophetic words that God's been laying on my heart, that we are Josiah.
Mm.
And because it's a government by the people and for the people, which means the 537 folks who are elected in Washington, D.C. are not the leaders. They're given the chance to lead. The people choose them to lead. But the 320 million or whatever, that's us. We're responsible for the direction of our country. So really, we are Josiah.
We're the kings.
We are Josiah. And that that we're need to remember where our country came from.
Yeah.
So when people are given, you say, hey, I would like a chance to lead your country or whatever. It's like, well, do you remember who we are as we're a Christian nation?
And this is different because why is this huge? We just aired it for you. We have that available for you, where the president has said that this is no longer a Christian nation.
But it is, because just recent statistics, they said that 78% of Americans profess that they are Christian.
Yes.
So 78%, that would be 12%, not 21, 21. It's a Christian nation. So you'll find out that some of these Saul Alinsky techniques, that are taught is that Rules for
Tactics.
Radicals, the trainings that took place, those who are organizing into that methodology is, if you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes truth in people.
Yeah. I think Hitler followed that same premise.
Yes, yes. But he learned it from Goebbels, and Goebbels came from World War I President Woodrow Wilson.
Interesting.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson. Goebbels is the one that
propaganda master.
Yes, and they hired him to go do videos and stuff for Hitler. So a lot of evil has been sent out from, and eugenics and all was learned from America and Sanger and all those different things that was going on. So I think about this. I think about, repentance. And I think about, what's taken place, the sins of our fathers that we talked about. But I think about what took place in Baltimore and when Stephen A. Smith was talking about, what took place. And they were interviewing a particular athlete about it. And I just want to hear what he had to say. Let's hear what he had to say about Baltimore and the people there, and just get a viewpoint. I think it's kind of a healthy viewpoint. Take a look.
Peaceful protests gave way to rioting in Baltimore following the death of Freddie Gray on April 19th, a spinal cord and other injuries sustained while in police custody. And then as a result, obviously there was some unrest in Boston and in Baltimore, and our colleague, Ray Lewis, had to talk about it.
Violence is not the answer. Violence has never been the answer. Freddie Gray, we don't do nothing for him doing this. We know there's a deeper issue. We know what the jungle looks like. But this isn't it. It's enough of us in the streets trying to change what's going on. Baltimore, get off the streets. Kids, go home. Stay home. You don't have no right to do what you're doing to this city. Too many hardworking people build this city.
Obviously, Ray Lewis, the Baltimore Raven for 17 seasons, that was his plea for peace. Meanwhile, for the very first time in Major League Baseball history, they will have the game tonight. The Orioles will play, actually, this afternoon, but there will be no crowd. That is by design. Stephen A., I'll start with you first. I think we all want to share our comments about what's happening in Baltimore, but what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, I was proud of my brother Ray Lewis for taking the initiative to, spread the message that he spread. We all know he's a future Hall of Fame. He starred in Baltimore for 17 years. Nobody's flawless, neither is he. But his conscience, being conscientious about his community at large, is something that should be commended. I did the same thing on my radio show yesterday on Sirius XM. I see a lot of athletes are trying to do the same. And you just look at what's transpiring, and something needs to be said. You know, we got a lot of folks out there that are suffering and going through trials and tribulations. And we talk about police brutality. We have to understand the difference between police brutality and a brutal act by a particular police officer. When you say police brutality, what you're doing is you're inciting a nation of individuals out there to go and act in a very belligerent and, dare I say, criminal fashion against law enforcement officials. And where do you think that's going to get them? What do you think is going to happen to them? Do you really, really think that you can go up against law enforcement officials? First of all, you're wrong. And more importantly than anything else, you're not going to win. And if you lose, you're not going to just lose in terms of a battle with them. You may lose your life. And so we need to be cognizant of that. And we need to spread the message to them that, again, violence is not the answer. And then when you get into the rioters, the looters, those engaging in vandalism, the part that I find incredibly disgusting is how anybody out there could sit there and support those kind of actions. Our president, Barack Obama, stated it best. They should be treated like criminals. You are victimizing and vandalizing your own community. The very people that you're sitting there and claiming to be in unison with in terms of being victims, not having your needs, your desires addressed or what have you, are the very people you're looting and vandalizing and all of that other stuff. It's irresponsible. It's criminal. It's unnecessary. It's wrong. And that needs to be said. The other thing that I'd like to say is this. On many, many occasions, we are so quick to point out the things that professional athletes do wrong. But by and large, the vast majority of them are doing the right things. When I think about a Dwayne Wade, when I think about a Kobe Bryant, when I think about a LeBron James, when I think about a Carmelo Anthony, who also is from Baltimore and spoke out against this, the list goes on and on. You have successful individuals that do serve as an example of what you should be striving not only to do, but to be, because of the way they've grown, the maturation process has infected their life, and the way they go about the business of conducting themselves on a day-to-day basis. And it ain't just because they're successful. They're successful because they were wise enough to know how to conduct themselves before they became successful. So these are all the things that I would think that people would look at and recognize and appreciate, because we got some problems out here, just like Ray Lewis said. We certainly have some problems within the African-American community. But one of the biggest problems we have is that we're not looking inward. We're busy looking outside at everybody else, what everyone else has done to us, what history has done to us, how it has affected us, etc., etc. But guess what? I'm here to tell you something. I haven't heard this said, Skip, on the airwaves. Our ancestors, considering our history and what they had to go through and the sacrifices that they had to make to get us to this point, our ancestors will be ashamed.
That's right.
Of how we're conducting
That's right.
ourselves.
That's fair.
And it needs to be said, and it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be stopped. Because I see a whole bunch of young brothers and sisters out here right now. They're here with us. Yep. They won't act that way. They wouldn't act that way. Mm. There's no excuse for this, and it's a no-win proposition. You are going to lose if you continue to conduct yourself this way, and more importantly, if you pick up the phone, go on Twitter or social media or whatever, and condone this type of behavior. Yeah. That's hooliganism. That is criminal activity going on, and it is against our own community. There are elder black folks who are suffering at the hands of these looters, vandalizing, etc. Law enforcement is going to deal with that.
You think about these, these citizens that are, they've lost their drugstore, they've
yes.
lost their grocery store,
the
one grocery store finally got put in.
One grocery store.
And this is not the people of Baltimore. This is just a few select people that started
sure.
going a route that everybody's standing up and saying, that's not the right route.
Yeah.
But I think Stephen A. Smith did an excellent job of being able to talk about that. And we're going to talk more about that when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about the app, I love the app. You need to go to Google Play Store or your Apple Store or your Windows Store, wherever you
listen.
Across all the platforms, we have an app for you. And it's the VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio app. You can continue to take VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program on the go. We have podcasts for you that it downloads. Just it get right into your phone.
Just automatically.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was having a conversation last night with my sister, and she was telling me that a friend is going to Japan for the military, mm-hmm. and she was sharing with her all the things that have been discussed on VFN TV and the Daily mm-hmm. VFN Radio program, and how she was so encouraged. And she's like, well, she has a 15-hour flight. And she can listen to. I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow.
Tell her to get on the podcast. It will download right into her iPhone. It's right there. And she'll listen to it. Because you don't have any internet in Sky. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you can just listen and go. She's like, oh my goodness, that's awesome.
You know, you talking about that, John, reminds me of an encounter that I had. There's a lady that I had met, and she travels so much. She travels from Miami. She's all over Florida, basically all up and down the coast. And we ended up just striking up a conversation about the Lord, and she was just sharing about how God's been speaking to her. Mm-hmm. And we just started talking about the radio program. And she was just like, what? And just really encouraged and intrigued, and we started talking about it.
VFN TV?
Yeah, the VFN radio program. And I looked down, and she had her purse, and then she had, obviously, like a cover or something for her iPad. And I said, is this your iPad? She says, yeah. And she just very, very, just opened up her iPad. I said, can I look at it real quick? She says, yeah. So I opened it up, went online and went to, the radio page. And mm-hmm. then I went to the home, like the app, and I just downloaded the app for her, put it right on her home screen. I says, here you go. And I showed her on my phone, showed her on the iPad. She ended up sending me this was probably like a month ago.
Now, where does she work now? She works for
a hospital.
Okay.
But she travels and she works for, I don't even know. She works for multiple hospitals.
Right.
And she ended up sending me a text and she says, thank you so much for sharing me that app. I was up all night listening to segment after segment after segment, and I am so encouraged.
Wow, so you shared with her the VFN TV and the Daily mm-hmm. VFN Radio app.
Yeah, just downloaded it right there.
Wow, isn't Powerful. That encouraging?
Yeah.
We're hearing testimonies like this over and over and over again, and it really encourages us because we're mm-hmm. here for you. We're here to keep the conversation light and to, by the grace of God, bring biblical perspective to the things that are happening all around the world and to share wisdom moments. And to share what God has been speaking to us prophetically about the coming days. And we're excited, truly excited every day to have this conversation with you as we're abiding and seeking God and to be here with you. So this is beautiful.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so, I thought, you know, like I said, Stephen A. Smith just, he speaks truth.
He speaks truth. He knows how to bring it real.
So balanced, though. Yeah. I mean, it's so truthful and authentic. You know, I think about the lady who is, she took over a ministry of her mother's there, right there in Baltimore, and she's been interviewed on the Blaze television just yesterday. And she was talking about how this vandalism and this rioting has affected the 400 senior citizens that she takes care of, and she feeds like 5,000 people around Thanksgiving, and that the CVS drugstore that got burned down that everybody you could see happening, it looks like that was kind of like the epicenter of a lot of it, that that's where people get their medications, fulfill your drugs, fulfill and all that.
That's where your files are at. That's your pharmacist, your local person, and now where are they going to go get their medicine at?
And two, you know, that they just... from some reports are that they worked so hard in the city of Baltimore to get a grocery store,
a national chain store,
because they talk about food deserts and stuff of that nature where you don't, you know, if you live in the suburbs and you live out in open land areas, you know, you may have a Walmart up the street, you may have, you know, some grocery store you can go to, and it always has all this great fresh produce mm-hmm. there. It's not always like that in the city.
No.
And sometimes it's because of high crime and different things that are going on. But look, they just worked towards getting that store in there, which people were celebrating. They just celebrated, I think, just a very short period of time. It got about a year and a half ago, And they just burned it down. But the ones who burned it down, it's like Stephen A. Smith said, you know, this has this is that's criminal. It has nothing to do with, you know, Freddie Gray. I mean, it has nothing to do with what's going on.
Behavior, yeah.
But this whole, you know, the aspect of being, you know, being a Christian perspective about injustice, you know, taking place, we have to hold off and just wait and see what's going to happen. It doesn't look good, but, you know, coming from a former law enforcement officer myself, it doesn't always necessarily look good. But once all the evidence is laid out, then you can actually look what it is. And you hear too this, that that's one incident. But when you add up the history, the 490 years, first of all, of of America, and then the 230 years of America, the 181, I think, since 1967. Of American history, that, you know, this broke for what something happened that broke, you know, Freddie Gray's back. Mm. That's what they're saying. This is the reports that his back, this young, strong man, somehow his back got broke. Whether, you know, it happened through law enforcement, whether it happened through some reports of some other ways, or whether he had surgery before that, and, you know, whatever it was. But I can't help but think, because I'm hearing people say, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because people are trying to define it by one point. And you have people that are intelligent people that have suffered oppression and injustices and that took place, and trying to say, you know, this is just the icing on the cake. This is a straw that, and you think about it, if it's a straw that broke the camel's back, you think a young black male's back was broken. And it's almost like a breaking point where you say, you know, America, we've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
But just despite what America does, the church has to deal with it. As Christians.
If my people.
Well, you have, you know, since, John, 1967, I believe it was 1967, the Supreme Court had to rule in 1967 because there was 15 states that still said in 1967 that if you, as a white man, me as a white man, married a black or African American woman, then that would be a felony.
Up until 1967. Wow.
And they that society, you know, allowed at that time, and in the name, people did this in the name of Christ, they did this in the name of the church, and saying that they didn't want, you know, interracial marriages and that type of thing. And so I'm listening to, you know, a present day, you know, good organization, but its foundation is not good. It was started 100-something years ago. And the reason why this particular adoption agency started was because they wanted to find white children, white homes. I mean, wow. It was built on racism.
That was the foundation.
That was the foundation of it. You know, we have to end things that are unrighteous and then begin again with a new foundation. We don't build on a previous foundation. And I think what God's wanting us, it feels like, you know, we're going to have to deal with this, but we can't keep, you know, people say, let's go back, you know, and if you are black, you don't want to go back. Yeah. You know, you don't want to, if you're African American, you don't want to go back. You want to go forward. And God is about going forward. He says, looking beyond the cross, he endured its shame. And this, we have to look forward and to say, you know, from this point on, you can't go back.
Yeah. In all fairness, not even not in this case, but in many cases, not just for African Americans, but for any person of color, because everybody is included in that.
And this is the difficult thing, is that because today they're talking about the church. You know, we're wanting God's definition of marriage to be upheld. You know, since the beginning of time. But the unrighteous foundation of going to the government in the first place for marriage began when people who went in the name of Christ, the church, and they went to government to be able to promulgate racism. And because prior to that taking place, and I don't have those laws with me, I'll talk more about it in the future, but they wanted to get the government involved so they could make it a felony if you married someone that wasn't white.
Wow.
And so that's prior to that, John, the government wasn't even involved all these years. They just honored the First Amendment, and whatever the church said, you're married, you're married. If you live together for 7 years, you're in a common law marriage. And but the government didn't tell you. But until people went in the name of the church to the government to oppress a nation, an ethnos, a race they didn't value, that's when it happened. So now my dilemma is, and, you know, and I'm not the one to run it, but it's like my dilemma is a righteous God on an unrighteous foundation. It'll be great mercy if God lets us get through this thing, because God loves everybody, all nations. Let me tell you what the throne room is going to be like. John, tell us what the throne room is going to be like when we're standing before our God and our Lord and our Savior.
Revelation 7:19. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palms in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And I always thought what was interesting about this verse of Scripture is that of all the nation groups and tribes that were there, what brought them together, what they were declaring was salvation. That's what matters, the cross.
Mm-hmm. And it's every tribe and every nation. And then the word comes from ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. Now, think about this. We're supposed to go to all the ethnic groups, all the nations, to preach the gospel, to tell them that God loves them so they can be gathered around at that throne room right there. Do you really think if you were part of division to divide out a nation that was going to worship God, that you said that one of those ethnos are not valuable enough to be standing in the presence of God, do you think that you're going to stand there? Do you really think? This is the end of all things. Revelation is the end of all things when we're standing before God. He wants every tribe, every nation to be standing before him. But you said that ethnos, that race is not of God. That race, you can't marry that race. You can't honor that race. It's like, you're not going to be there. Because this is what God said. God said this. This is what the Word of God says. He says, if you say you love me, who you can't see, but you don't love your brother who you can see, he said, you're a liar. In other words, you're not going to be at that place, at that throne room, if you're hating on people. I don't care what race you are. If you hate black people, white people, Asian people, yellow people, red people, whatever, you know, human beings.
Yeah.
And this thing about color, it's like, my goodness, there's a multiplicity of colors. It's that you're created in we all bleed red.
That's right.
We're the same, creating the image and the likeness of God. And so we have to deal with that stronghold that says, you know, that you're better or someone else is better than you. The fact is, we're all created equal before the eyes of God. All of our rights do come from God, like our Constitution says. Now we need to live up to those right as a Christian nation, as was stated by the particular Supreme Court justice. In addition to that, when we treat people equally, we're not condescending to them. We treat them as equal. If you ask this one person to do one thing, you ask the other person to do one thing. If you are this way with five people, you're that way with all people. And there's a real condescending nature. I believe this young lady from Prager University just came out on that particular day, I believe.
It sure did. 5 hours before the riots broke out, this was just released.
It just kind of tells it how it is. And it's like equal is equal. You know, equal is equal in the context of that. And God loves our responsibility as Christians. And this is when I heard the Chief Justice talk about, you know, they're debating and the decision hasn't come out yet, you know, of marriage and what's going on. They're talking about love. They're saying, you know, if Susan loves Bob, then she can marry Bob. But if Jim loves Bob, then he can't, because they're arguing about marriage. What's going on? And I'm thinking like, oh, my goodness, they're bringing up love.
Love.
And it's like, the church is going to lose that one, because who's loving?
Yeah.
We're called to love each other. I mean, we're called to love and to lay down our lives. And he says, if you love each other, this is a commandment that I give you, that they'll know your mind by the love you have for each other, that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those. And it's like, oh my goodness, the Supreme Court is using love. And do we even have a defense? Do we see love? And when you have a lot of folks that are saying like, but we have the right kind of marriage. But do you have love in your marriage? Do you love your wife? Your husband? Do your children see you loving God? Do you love your parents? You know, is the church when you gather together? Do you love your neighbors? And it's like, we can be trumped. And the reality is, if we don't have love, you don't have God, because God is love. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is one more person here in the studio, but I guess I'll just ask you, Steve. Probably not. Probably not. But
are you familiar with this?
They set it up so lovely. I feel the love. Thanks, Chris. Ever,
thanks, bud. I love you, man.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever frosted the tips of your...
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
What?
Tell us about... How does that work, bro? I mean... What
happened to you? What?
In his defense.
What?
In his defense.
Do we need to go to a break, Grant, about now? I think we do.
No, we're out of breaks, bro.
We're out of timeouts here, aren't we?
He needs a lifeboat right now. He's sinking fast.
He needs a lifeline. Yeah.
Well,
you want to dial a friend or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got plenty of time. I got nowhere to go right here. I don't know.
No, when I was 9 minutes. Let's
when
go.
When I was in my 20s, I had shorter hair, which I'm no longer in my 20s now. So this is
such an older man now.
Yeah,
oh, no. What are you like, 30?
Something like that.
25, I think.
It is getting hot in here, though. I would say, but
maybe it's frosted. I don't know.
Anyways, no, like I had shorter hair, and it's called like if you ever see people that are out in the sun a lot, like they have like lighter hair in certain areas. Well, they can actually do that without the sun. So it's called frosting the tips.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we're talking about, you know, getting this viewpoint. You know, Stephen A. Smith did, I think, an excellent job.
Yes.
And we're kind of seeing our history and what's going on in America and that, you know, repentance. We're talking about this time of prayer and repentance that... the sins of our fathers, you know, that are come upon us. You see this German lady coming to the Poland camp right there, the death camp, Auschwitz, and to just show that form of repentance. It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
But, you know, and this young lady from, you know, Cleo Valerie, that from Prager University, this thing came out the same day, I think, that the situation was happening in Baltimore. And before we see this, you know, I want to talk about the word condescending. You know, sometimes, you know, we just don't know what's happening. You know, we don't realize somebody's treating us bad. You can feel, you know, like something's wrong, but you don't understand what it is. Quite often it could be because somebody's being condescending. And the definition of condescending, because she's going to talk about this, Cleo's going to talk about this from Prager University, is showing or applying an unusual patronage of dignity or importance, where somebody's talking down to you or somebody's being nice to you, and it's like, I don't even know you, why you're being nice to me, and they're being condescending. How they see you is, you know, you're just not that smart and you don't have those kind of capabilities, but I tell you what, darling, I'll just, it's like, who are you? And that's actually being condescending to you because they didn't see you as an equal.
Right.
You know, they're not seeing you as somebody that's just like them and they have the same capabilities and the same talents and the same, you know, brain and the same, you know, feelings and emotions and all that stuff. And so it's important to, and I see, you know, because of what's happened to the politicalization, the PC-ness of the culture, you know, as Christians, we don't go with PC, we go with JC, you know, Jesus Christ. And so we have to. I mean, there are some Christians that they're thinking that to be a good Christian, you need to be politically correct. And it's like, no, we need to be biblically correct. Yeah. We need to be, you know, loving folks and treating people, you know, like we're supposed to treat them, which is to tell them about the love of God and that they can be a son of God, a daughter of God through their son, through That's God's right. son, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, and that he loves them, has a plan for their life. And so condescending, you'll hear her talk about how she feels about what's going on in America and how, you know, what equality really is. And she is a writer and she is an activist. You know, from Prager University, here is Cleo here. Take a look at this.
Many people believe that the election of a black president would advance America to a new era of racial harmony. That belief proved to be mistaken. In retrospect, it was naive to think that a single event, even the election of a black president, would wash away a stain so deeply ingrained in our culture. The debate about how much racism there is in America, and specifically the disparity between the races, is just as fierce as ever. That's okay with me. Discrimination still exists. Let's deal with it openly and honestly. Unfortunately, that's very hard to do. One reason I've discovered is that many people feel that they have to treat blacks with kid gloves. They think this is noble, enlightened, progressive. It's not. It's demeaning and condescending. In fact, it's racist. A recent experience brought this home to me. In an anthropology class, my professor decided to discuss the shooting of Michael Brown, a black teenager, by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Before I tell you what transpired, I need to tell you something about this professor. First of all, I like her very much. She's interesting and engaging, but more importantly, she took a non-PC approach to the class, which I found refreshing. She encouraged us to study the data dispassionately and draw our conclusions from that. But when the subject of Ferguson came up, all this objectivity went out the window. When a classmate said, following a debate over the details of the case, that the facts ultimately don't matter, my professor agreed. All that matters, this classmate added, is that a black boy was killed by a white cop. Another example of racism in a racist society, pure and simple. So therefore, riots that followed the grand jury decision not to indict the officer were the legitimate reactions of people who just couldn't take it anymore. And that's when I knew that what I was really hearing was not an expression of compassion and understanding, but something else. Rioting and looting are acceptable forms of behavior? Why? Because the rioters and looters have no other options? Really? In free democratic America, you have no other options? Does this apply to all ethnic groups? Hispanics? Southeast Asians? Pacific Islanders? Of course not. But we, the enlightened ones, are ready with a pre-packaged list of excuses when blacks riot and loot. Worse, when it comes to judging black behavior, even facts don't matter. All that matters is the skin color of the teenager and the skin color of the cop. Well, not in my world. If a white cop kills a white kid, the facts matter. If a black cop kills a black kid, the facts matter. If a black cop kills a white kid, the facts matter. And if a white cop kills a black kid, the facts matter. To suggest anything else is to perpetuate discrimination, the very thing that those who espouse social justice claim to want to end. Anyone, whether white or any other color, who excuses blacks for bad behavior just because they are black, obviously doesn't consider blacks their equal. Rather, they view blacks, in effect, as children who are unable to adhere to the standards to which every other group is held. Think carefully about that. The only difference between this view and that of white supremacists is that white supremacists are honest and open. In their view, blacks are inferior to whites, period. But those who condescend to blacks cloak themselves in self-righteousness, so somehow that makes it okay. The bad behavior happens, a riot in Ferguson, and they nod knowingly. They couldn't take it anymore. Who can blame them? I'll take the white supremacists any day. First, there are very few of them, and they have no power. Second, I can easily prove them wrong. But how do I shake off the condescenders, the patronizers? There are a lot of them, they have a lot of power, and they think they mean well. How do I convince them that as a black human being, I want to be, I must be, judged by the same standards as everybody else? So how about this for a change? Treat blacks equally, always, in every way. Not differently, not better, not worse. Not like we're demons, not like we're angels. Is that so hard to do? Because if we really want racial harmony, not to mention an end to racism, that's the only way to get there. I'm Chloe Valdery for Prager University.
Join Prager University. Click here to subscribe.
This is so important, you know, that I think she did a good job of explaining it. And if you look at the throne room of God, where John was reading in the book of Revelation, we're all standing there. Treated equally. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short. That any one of us from any nation, from any ethnos group, can make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and enter into the family of God. And we become a new ethnos, a new nation in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful thing. And she when you think about it, she's speaking so logically about what's going on. But as Christians, we have an obligation to go to all the people of the world, all the nations, and tell them that God loves you. God's got a plan for you. You're so important that God died for you. If somebody told you, somebody's been condescending to you and putting you down, you're so valuable that God gave his son for you. It's time to step up, sit at the table, and have all full rights as a son and daughter of God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Lord, I just ask you right now, if y'all could join. Yes, Father God, we just pray that an end of racism would take place in this nation, Lord. Father God. Lord, that the sins of those that profess to be the church in the history of this nation that stood up and were racist towards other races, God, we ask you, Lord, that you would forgive those sins, God, the evilness that took place, God, and you would wash our land of that sin, Father God, and that you would give new eyes to the citizens of the world, of your church, to understand that you love us all, and you created us all, and you want us all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we can be brothers and sisters, yes. heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to live eternally together, and that we would be there all together at your throne room, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, worshiping you and acknowledging you as the Lord and Savior of our life and the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words, you know. You could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we got to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is, and he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland, that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. The pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, wow. They left, you know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's hard. But I got, and I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.